Introspective, inward-looking, self-examining, characterized by or given to introspection.
Welcome to the Introspective Podcast, your compass for internalizing the path towards optimal lifestyle design, business success, and mindful entrepreneurship with your host, Jake Anderson.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jake Anderson, and that's probably the most formal, rigid introduction I've ever started off with. Usually I just kind of kick in here and just start jamming out, but I don't know. Today felt a little bit different, and I'm excited about today because I've got another friend of mine who's in the brick and mortar space. You know, I'm a brick and mortar guy. For anybody who doesn't know, I got started in the special events industry. And then from there moved online. And, you know, it's funny, like I was thinking about this in the past about how the brick and mortar space gives you kind of almost an edge when you go online, because you really have to know how to build relationships, especially in the local market. You don't have this ever expanding global presence that you can reach out to. It's kind of consolidated down to a local geographic area. And, you know, getting in brick and mortar, I think there's just a different experience. So to kind of start with that and moving into my special guest today, who has actually successfully built three seven-figure restaurants, which I find to be just remarkable. I know that the restaurant industry is super competitive. I'm not in it, but I know that it's super competitive. I hear the failure rate's very high. But she's been able to actually successfully build three seven-figure restaurants. And then after being in the restaurant industry for 8 years, she has wants to give back. She wants to get into mentoring women and families and create an empire for themselves and their community. She teaches Latina and immigrant women on how to build these restaurants brick by brick. And my friends, who I am bringing onto the show today, her name is Joanny Perez. And Joanny, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Jake. It's an honor to be here.
Yes, I appreciate it. I'm excited. I've got a lot of questions for you. So, going into brick and mortar and building restaurants, and, you know, I think it's something that there's just something really interesting to be said about that. So I wanted to start there, you know, in your experience in building restaurants and being in such a highly competitive field. Like, tell me a little bit more about that experience in terms of building restaurants. Like, what have been some of the challenges that you faced? And like, what were some of the things that you've also done that really helped you become successful in that area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so absolutely, Jake, you said it. Like, it's a brick and mortar business, and it's definitely, you have to have that community connection and build relationships on a daily basis with people. So one of the challenges we faced as a family when we decided we wanted to go into the restaurant industry was, of course, you know, gathering the resources that we needed to open up. My mother worked for many years. She saved money, and I was working at a McDonald's as a manager, so I had plenty of experience there on how to treat staff and how to run a store, how to do, you know, business tasks, and also how to build relationships with the people that I was working with. And my stepfather was a bartender for 20 years and a server, so he knew, you know, a lot of people. And we were really a social family that would go out to eat and really observe everything from how the staff was working in that particular restaurant, what the entertainment was, how the managers treated the guests and the menu and the food and the presentation of the cocktails and the dishes, right? And just meeting as much people as we could, even before we even started our first restaurant, which is, I think it's one of the most important things, is when you're thinking about going into the restaurant industry, you need to start shaking hands. You need to start talking to managers, to servers, bartenders, chefs, going out to see live bands play music, because you're going to need that at your venues. And so making those connections are very important. One of the few things that really helped us was that when we would take a space and start renovating it into a restaurant, we would invite the people that were passing by into inside for a glass of wine or, you know, a beer. And we would introduce ourselves, tell them, you know, who we were, what we were doing in their neighborhood. And we invited them to be part of that decision-making process of, you know, here's what we plan to do. Here's what we plan to serve. We want your input because this is, we're creating this for your community. And so that really, we gained the acceptance of the neighborhood really quickly, even before we opened our doors.
Well, it sounds like you really embraced the human connection element here, because as I'm listening to you kind of give an overview of the story and a lot of the things that you did and the approaches that you took in building the restaurant, I mean, it all kind of came down to relationships and
yes.
and building those relationships and focusing on the people. And that's why I like when I would say, you know, brick and mortar kind of gives you the, you know, just an edge when, especially when you come online. I think the relationship factor is really huge because you have to know how to roll up your sleeves and get out there and talk to people, and not just talk to people through a messenger thread, but like face to face, have that conversation. You have that full exchange of energy. So, you know, when it came to, you know, having these relationships, was there anybody, I'm just curious, like, was there anybody in particular through this time that you were getting started in the restaurant business that was just a really powerful relationship for you? And it was somebody that just really, you felt like they really empowered you to kind of move forward. Maybe it was a mentor, maybe it was a staff member, maybe, and just whoever, like, is there anybody that really stands out for you there?
You know, the person that really stands out is my stepfather, which was a person who had the most experience working with people and knowing people just throughout New York City. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was really him, because he's really like the face of the restaurants. And my mom and me, we are more like the administrative part, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that he was really a great resource to have in a person, because he, you know, a lot of people think like you have to know everything before you're entering the restaurant industry, but you don't. You just have to have a team that works really well. And if you want to go into this as a family, you know, I want to make sure that every person has something to bring to the table.
How has the family dynamic been for like working in a family business? You know, is there any, like, any friction there? Like, because it's family and business, I'm always curious to hear that, because I know that sometimes people say, you got to be careful about, you know, going into business with family and friends and it can be, you know, dangerous waters. Like, but how's that mm-hmm. experience been for you? Like, what are some things that y'all have done as a family to make it work really well?
I think that there's definitely, you know, friction. As a family, you know, you take home any problems that exist in the business, and you really don't clock out, right? So in working together, you know, sometimes it's busy and, you know, things happen and certain words might be exchanged or people are a little bit stressed. But at the end of the day, we know that that's business and it's separate from personal. Mm. And when we're working, you know, we're working, and then when we're on our free time, then it's different. And yeah, I think that, you know, it's definitely a balance that you have to have with family. And we also have a family that are part owners in one of our restaurants. And so for us, and this is a recommendation from everyone, when you're going into business with a family member and you're putting a certain percentage of capital, you want to make sure you have a contract, right? In writing, so that everything is clear. And that's one of the most important things that we did from the start.
Well, I take it from me for making this mistake, because I have made a mistake. My first business partnership, we had no contract, no agreement. It was just basically a conversation and then things went south. And when things went south, fortunately it wasn't so far into it that, you know, was like a lot of asset distribution or reallocation. There was a little bit of that, but it definitely made the waters very muddy. And because there's nothing to fall back on, you don't have any expectation that's been set. No, nothing's been documented. And when you're just talking, you know, words can get you can forget words. You can forget what people say. And it's like, wait a second, I thought you said that this is what the arrangement was going to be. It's like, no, I didn't say that. I meant this. And it was like, well, that conversation was 2 years ago. We should have put that somewhere in a contract so we set some clear expectations, because when things do get a little bit rocky, you can go back to that contract and look at it and say, look, this is what we agreed on. This is what we signed off on. We got to stick to this. And we can talk about it a little bit, but, you know, this is where we're starting here. So I want to shift a little bit, because I know last year's been tough, you know, with the pandemic. I mean, and anybody listening that follows my journey knows my whole story with being in a special event in industries that were really sensitive to the impact. You know, there was positive sensitivity. Like I think Amazon did pretty well, and Zoom, mm-hmm. you know, companies like that, you know, certainly thrived in this environment. But then there were industries like the special events industry that I was in, and I know the restaurant industry certainly felt it on the other side of the spectrum. So like, tell me about last year. Like, how's that been in the restaurant industry? Like what's been like, how have y'all navigated through this? I'm just really curious to know.
Yes, it was really an experience. When the pandemic hit exactly a year ago in 2020, and there was a lot of pivoting that we had to do. And of course, the first 4 months, we were only limited to delivery and takeout. And so we really depended on the connections that we had with our local community and our locals to support us. And they were really supportive. We were very lucky. But we did implement things like virtual karaoke. So we would go live on our Instagram, provide karaoke to our patrons. And also, we were lucky that the artists that usually play at our venues would also go live from Instagram and provide a show for our customers who ordered, you know, takeout, ordered delivery, things like that. And just our general, you know, following. And so really leveraging that and leveraging like reaching out to the clinics and the hospitals and essential workers and catering small gatherings, things like that. I think a lot of restaurants who were dependent on tourism were the ones who had, you know, the biggest failure, because, you know, during that season, people were not coming to New York City. And then, no, they were not coming for vacation or anything like that. So those restaurants closed right from the get-go and are probably still closed. Mm-hmm. But we have always depended on our locals, the local community. And so that was really, we were really lucky. From there, we had to pivot really quickly to outdoor dining in June. And serve at 25% capacity indoors, right? So we also had a curfew. We had initially was 12 midnight, and then it was 10 o'clock. So really that's a big gap from pre-pandemic, where we closed at 4 a.m. and we were able to, you know, sell more and provide, you know, live shows and things like that. So what we did was provide the live shows earlier at 8 o'clock, and we were very busy. We were, you know, packed. There was lines of people who were waiting to dine out in the summer. And even though we had that curfew, you know, we were able to survive and keep our doors open.
I love the Instagram karaoke. Did you sing? Did you ever get on there and sing?
No, I didn't. I mean, I was doing it from from home.
So people would order. They would order their food and get takeout, and then go back and the live music and karaoke experience. You just took it to the virtual stage for them.
Yes,
and that's cool. See, that's how you got to adapt. I mean, sometimes these situations are not favorable, but that's a really creative way to take us. You know, take. You know, lemons and make lemonade, essentially. And do you feel like that How do you feel like that connected with, did you get any kind of feedback from your customers that were seeing how you were pivoting and thinking like, wow, they're actually really taking some steps to try to kind of maintain that environment that we are so used to being accustomed to with the music and the karaoke and the singing and having mm-hmm. that? Like, do you feel like that, it was that something like, how did that strengthen the brand between your restaurant and the customers it was serving?
That's a great question. That really, it really did strengthen our brand. People would come to us and say like, wow, you guys, it's incredible that you guys are keeping your doors open and doing everything to keep your staff, mm-hmm. you know, even though we were rotating them, you know, but we were still, you know, nobody got fired or nobody was left out. And so that really, you know, strengthened the connection with our community because they knew once they supported us, they were supporting everyone. They were supporting families who, you know, were struggling a little bit. And during the summer, people were so generous. They were tipping more than they had to. Our servers were making $2,000 a night in tips.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes.
Wow. I
need to come and up customers... And our customers were really happy.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. 2000 a night, that's some serious money.
I know, right?
Yeah, wow. kind of like just lost my train of thought. I'm like, what am I doing? I need to go up there and work at your restaurant. That's some serious money. The thing about that is that I want to comment on what you just said is I think that this pandemic has really helped kind of in some ways, I think it's helped bring people closer because as far as like with the small business, because, you know, I know like where I live in a town center and I can walk to some of the restaurants nearby and I would feel more compelled to support the local business during this time, especially as a local business owner too, and having that small business, you're a little bit more compassionate for the small business owner. But mm-hmm. when you know that it's a hard time for them, you want to do what you can to support them, especially if it's a place that you're loyal to. And you know, I think people band together, and I think what you just mentioned is proof that of just that statement. You know, the fact that your servers were getting tipped like that, and that you know people were really going out of their way to support. So that's just beautiful to hear. It's nice, and, you know, we live in a time right now where there's so much, you know, divisiveness and things going on. And it's nice to hear like stories like that where people really come together. You know, now I want to shift over into the online space because I know that's what you're into as well, as far as coaching and helping other immigrant women, you know, get started in building these restaurants. So tell me a little bit about that experience and what you're doing there.
Yeah. So, during 2020, when I realized that, you know, the industry was having a little bit of trouble, I decided that I wanted to do something more. I wanted to also like come up with a program, become an online entrepreneur. And so I really wanted to know like, hey, what's that one thing that I can teach other people? What is my expertise? And then I realized that I have right this background with my family and 9 years in the food industry. And I really can empower other women and immigrant families who want to step into this space by providing them information and resources and things like that. It has definitely been a challenge because it is a very different kind of business when you take something online and you become an entrepreneur. It really takes time for you to build an audience, for you to build credibility, for you to build a program and things like that. So it's definitely a different experience.
Yeah, it is. I know. I when I came online, the one thing that, because I got started in 2018. And when I say got started, I mean, I started exploring the opportunities. And so I just remember it's very loud online. It's very loud. There's a lot of content, there's a lot of distractions, there's a lot of people that are trying to get their message heard on a much noisier level than when you're, you know, in the local market. I feel like it's easier to I felt like it was easier to stand out in the local market, especially if you have a physical presence where you've got, you know, you've got that exchange of energy. But like when it came to coming online as the coming from the brick and mortar space, one of the things I'm curious to hear if there's anything specifically that you noticed that was just kind of oddly unique or challenging, and or maybe it was something that was just of interest to you when you came online, like some of the things that you initially noticed. But for me, and I think the same thing applies to you as far as the relationship building piece, that's really like what I knew from business was building, like really building relationships and, you know, going out to networking events and, you know, actually like speaking with people in a physical place and having that exchange of energy and getting on the phone with people. Like that's how I operated as a business owner. And then coming online, it was a lot of like, you know, you got to post every day, you got to put out content. And it felt like that things were very surface level, at least for me. Like, is that kind of like, how was it for you? Like when you first came online, like, was there anything that was like, man, this is just, this is really fascinating in a lot of ways, but in some other ways, this is just not how I'm used to operating. And it seems to be kind of a challenge for me to figure out how to kind of shift around.
Yes, it's definitely been a challenge. I mean, for me, it was like showing up every day, right? Showing up on video and doing lives, and this commitment that you have to wake up and you have to post every day, or you know, you have to be on store, you have to be on TikTok. So you have to be constantly present, you have to be providing value, and things like that. So it's definitely, you know, a something that is a learning experience and that you get better each and every day. And yeah, it's very different. I mean, the uniqueness of it is that you have a bigger audience. Yeah. You can talk to people all over the world. I can help people who are in other countries, which I have done already. And so your audience is that much bigger. But I think you have, you know, that much more responsibility now, because you're responsible for the results that you want to get for your business, right? So you have to show up and you have to work really hard.
Yeah, I know what you mean by, like, I remember the first live video. Do you remember your first live video? It was like, it was so strange. And I remember thinking, like, this is what went through my head. You know, I think I had, I don't know, 1,500 or 2,000 friends on my friends list. And in my head, I imagined that all 1,500 people would immediately stop what they're doing and just watch me on my live. And that's like the perception I had in my head when I would hit the little record button before I ever did it the first time. And then when you hit the record, and then it's like, okay, now I'm just speaking into this, you know, this phone here and talking and trying to be passionate about it. And it just takes some getting used to. I remember just the first time, even like with podcasting, it was definitely some challenges there as well. It was like speaking freely about your thoughts so there was definitely some challenges with that. So you've been able to connect with people all over the world and start serving. Like, tell me about those experiences that you've had. Like, how have you been able to help people in other countries and doing the things that you're doing in your mentorship?
Yeah, so I've been able to connect with a woman in South Africa who I worked with before. She's the founder of an orphanage. And, you know, I told her about what I was doing and what I was offering. And she was very interested because their issue is food security. And they always have dependent on the generosity of donors and volunteers who travel twice a year. Mm. Fill up their food pantry. And so I was like, hey, you know, we can put a plan together to open a restaurant for you, raise some money. Let's see if we can crowdfund our way there. And we did it. We set up a site on globalgiving.org. And we raised $4,000, which does go a long way over there. Mm-hmm. We had to scale down a little bit. So she bought a mobile kitchen instead of creating an actual restaurant, because with the restaurant, she was going to have to buy a container, which was the biggest portion of the budget. So what she's done now is she's going to start small and then scale, you know, eventually. So now she's serving food in schools, she's serving food on the road, and she's serving food in busy areas in the city. And now she will be able to support herself and the kids.
That's awesome that you were able to get the fun, because that's one of the most difficult pieces, especially in brick and mortar too, because usually brick and mortar businesses are more capital intensive because you need all the physical things that go into getting set up. So like, how's it, you know, working with setting up somebody in a local business that lives in different countries? Has there been any, challenges in terms of business setup that you had to go through? And what I mean specifically is, like, you know, the legal side of things. And obviously you made a point about the currency and the economies of scale. It's like, yes, it's $4,000, but that goes a long ways over there. So it's like, that's just an example. But like, what are some of the things that you had to, I guess, some of the challenges you had to go through when it came to dealing with the different, working with different countries and having to kind of shift over to understanding, like, what are the business things that we need to put in place from a legal standpoint? And you don't have to get into like specific law. I'm just curious to know, like, and also even culture. You also have, I'm sure, you obviously got the legal side, you got the culture side, and there might be some other things, but I'm just curious, like, how that disparity of or difference, how you navigated through that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's definitely a difference in you know, what things they need to buy and the land, whether they need permission to buy that specific land, or you know, how much it would, the availability of empty spaces in the city. So it's definitely harder over there to get any of that done, which is why we were going to buy a container and then build that into a restaurant. But even that was tough, right, because of the money that it was going to cost, about, I believe, somewhere between $20,000.
20 grand.
So yeah.
Is this like a mobile, like when you say container, what do you mean by a container specifically?
I don't know if you've seen the containers that people buy to build homes. They build a couple containers and then they build the inside of them.
I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. I think I've seen that before. Okay, so that's what you were trying to get, but you still got to put that on a piece of land, right? So would you still have to get land for that?
Yeah, I believe so. And that's, you know, a challenge over there because it's a different country. And there's a lot of things involved in that. But yeah, I think as well as, you know, the food and the culture is different, and what the clients want to serve, you know, is going to be usually traditional food. So it's more, way more than in the U.S., So in the U.S., you know, we talk about liquor license and what type of cuisine they want to serve. So it might be this whole, you know, really upscale type of concept, whereas in South Africa, they just want to serve South African food, which is fine.
Gotcha.
More simpler to do.
Yeah. Simple. Keep it simple. That's always my motto. If I can simplify something in my business, I'm going to do it anywhere I can. It just makes the whole business in itself is complicated, you know, already, you know, with all the different pieces and moving pieces with marketing and your sales and the operations and the administration. And then you got the legal and the financial and the accounting stuff that goes with it. It's very complicated. So finding ways to simplify is always the way to go. Well, I want to ask you about, like, where you're at today and, like, where can people connect with you? And for anybody that's listening that may have a contact, or maybe you are that person that wants to get started in building restaurants or building your own restaurant, and that's what you are, and you want to seek out kind of this guidance, like, how can people connect with you?
Yeah, so people can connect with me through my website at joanniperez.com. And they can also find me on Instagram at Joas underscore coaching.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'll make sure to link that up in the show notes. And so people know where to find you and connect with you. And I love what you're doing. I think it's a beautiful mission. Especially that you're working on that global stage right now, you know, and it's for us brick and mortar people, it's a whole new ball game. So, I wish you all the best in that.
Yes.
It definitely has its challenges, but I think it also has some pretty equally amazing rewards that come with it when you're able to take somebody to a place of success. You know, I'm sure with that individual you worked with on building that restaurant, it was like once you saw that it actually came to fruition, it's like what you know, how good of a feeling is that, you know, to be able to see that you actually help somebody get to a place where they can really live the dream that they set out for. I mean, you completely changed their life, and it's just an amazing feeling. And I think that's one of the things to really highlight when you're in the online space, that you have the opportunity to really impact the world in a positive way. So thank you so much, Gianni. It's really been great chatting with you, learning about your story and your mission and everything that you're doing. So I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jake.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.